Hey everyone, welcome to today's stories of language learners. I'm your host, Charles. First of all, I want to say thank you guys so much for coming back and for listening to the podcast. Even though I spent a long time without posting, you guys came back. So thank you so much for listening. I also want to give a shout out to the people on Patreon. With their help, I was able to purchase the premium version of Zoom. So now I can keep recording the podcast on Zoom and our encounters won't have limitation. You guys are so kind for supporting me there. I so appreciate it. Now let's get into today's episode. Today's guest is English teacher Nicola from the UK. Currently, she's living in Australia. She's also a language learner. Her content on Instagram is awesome. Make sure to connect with her on her page. You will find a lot of resources for English learners. Here are some of the things we talk about. Teacher Nicola shared her journey learning German, French, and Portuguese. She also knows a little bit of Mandarin, living in China, Germany, and France, the importance of listening to develop good pronunciation, why you should know what kind of learner you are, what to do when you feel stuck and have no progress on your language learning journey, why we should be curious when learning a new language, and the importance of imitation to improve speaking and writing. I had a wonderful time talking with teacher Nicola, and I'm really sure that you guys are gonna love this episode. Learning a new language changed my life, and I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners, so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? I'm so happy to see you.
Happy to see you too.
Thank you.
How are you going?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much
Good.
For doing this.
That's no problem at all. I wanted to make sure I was getting your name right. I want to pronounce it correctly.
Oh, okay.
Is it Chalice?
Yes. Wow. If you pronounce my name better than my parents, I think. And let me say something. I don't think that I have ever talked about it on the podcast, but my dad, he usually calls me Junior, which is my second name. And I think that the reason why he calls me dad is because he doesn't know how to pronounce my name, my first name. My name is unusual here in Brazil. You did a great job.
I've never heard the name Chalice before, but it's a very nice name.
Yeah. And your name is Nicola?
Yes. So it's quite funny. Nobody can pronounce my name correctly. None of my students can say it correctly because, I mean, I'll tell you later, but I have a lot of South American students. So they all say Nicola, or Nicola. But yeah, it's Nicola. Yeah. But you can call me anything you like.
Oh, awesome. I'm so happy that you accept my invitation to be on the podcast. I'm already recording. And also,
Perfect.
For the first time, I'm doing an experiment. I am also recording my voice on my computer. I hope this works. I've never done that, but someone suggested that I could do that to improve the quality of the sound. And I'm testing
Amazing.
It out.
Okay, yeah, so, we'll see how it goes.
Oh, and I was watching your YouTube channel. channel just before
we
start recording. I loved it. I was watching video about how to sound like a native. I loved what you shared in that video. I'm going to put all the links in the show notes so people can connect with you and watch your YouTube channel.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I haven't worked on my YouTube for a while, actually, because I've just had other projects and things to do. But yeah, a lot of work goes into filming the videos, editing the videos, putting them online, promoting them. It's such a big job, but I do enjoy it. And I hope that in the future, I'll have more time for that. I do. I like it.
That's amazing. I love and admire all the content creators, because once I started working on the podcast, I realized, oh my gosh, there's a lot of work involved behind the scenes.
It's a lot of work.
I thought, okay, I'm going to buy a microphone and then I'm just going to record an episode I'm going to put there and that's it. I think in 1 hour I can do everything.
A lot of work.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And also nowadays I started experimenting with other social media platforms. I started to use TikTok. I have no idea what I'm doing there.
Oh, gosh. But I have one video on TikTok and I have not yet. I feel too old for TikTok, but everybody tells me I need to do more TikToks.
Yeah, this is how I felt when I first started using TikTok, because I would say those kids just dancing, and I did not use TikTok for, I don't know, 1 year and a half. And then now I started to use again.
Yeah.
Because of the algorithm, I received some advice and I spent like 1 hour to record a video of 50 seconds. It's insane.
I know exactly what you mean.
Anyway, so for those of you who are listening, guys, when you see a content creator publishing anything on social media, please show them some love. Comment and like and appreciate the work.
Yeah. We really appreciate the likes that we get back for all the hours that we spend creating the content. So
yes. Okay, so let's get it started. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm Nicola. I'm 29 years old. I'm an English teacher, originally from Sheffield, which is a city in the north of the UK. I've been teaching English for over 5 years now, and I moved to Sydney, Australia in 2018. My job here is teaching English to international students, mainly from Asia and South America. So I have lots of students from Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, Peru, Chile, and I absolutely love my job. I think it's one of the best jobs in the world. I get to meet students from all around the world, learn about their culture, help them settle into their new life in Australia, and just watch their English language abilities grow at the same time. So it's a really, really rewarding job. I love it.
It's amazing. And something that I love about like being able to record episodes for the podcast and work on this project is being able to connect with people from so many different countries and people with different backgrounds and people with different cultures. It's so amazing. This is the power of English, right? This
Absolutely.
Language can connect people. And you also are a language learner, right?
I am.
I have. That's true. Actually, the next question is, could you share with us your journey with language learning? When did you start learning language?
Absolutely. I love talking about learning languages. So I actually started learning languages quite late, in my opinion. So I was 11 years old when I started learning French in school. Unfortunately, the UK government doesn't really place much importance on foreign language education in schools. And I think it's still the same now. That was the case when I was in school, and I'm pretty sure it's the same now, if not worse. There's not a lot of resources available. But yes, I started learning French when I was 11. And because I was actually at a language college, I had the opportunity to learn a second language. The choice was between Spanish and German. And I can't remember if I was just handed German or if I chose it, but I'm very glad that I got German, because over the years, I've built a wonderful relationship with Germany and found a real love for the people and the culture. I also took some Mandarin classes after school. it was called Chinese Club. We did Mandarin lessons and we learned about Chinese culture, Chinese food. It was amazing. I can't remember any of it now, maybe a few phrases, but it did give me the opportunity to go to China when I was 13 years old. I think a lot of people thought my parents were crazy, sending me on a school exchange when I was only only 13 with school. I went to live with a Chinese family for a couple of weeks, and I kind of shadowed the exchange partner that I was matched with, saw her life in school. And I'm so grateful that my parents let me do that when I was so young, because I think that was my first experience of, it gave me awareness and respect for a culture that wasn't my own. And it continued from there, really. My eyes were opened, and I continued learning French and German at school. I took part in another exchange program to Germany, to a city in Koblenz, where I was matched with a girl called Vera. And on the first trip, the first time I went to go and see Vera on that school trip, my German was not very good. I was still at the beginning of my language learning journey, and I made fantastic friendships on that trip, but not because of my German, it was because of their English. They had really good English. And I was determined that the next time I went back to Germany, I would be able to understand their German conversations and be able to communicate with them. And that's exactly what happened. So I saw Vera, I think every year after that, for a few years, we visited each other. I went to Germany, she came to England, and we created a really strong friendship, and we're still friends on Facebook today and talk every now and then. Life's it's busy amazing. Now, we both have our own lives, but you know, that's the beauty of learning languages. It opens doors to new possibilities, new friendships. So yeah, that's my journey with German so far. So yes, I continue to study French and German and linguistics at university, which is where I spent some time living in Nancy in France, which is a city between Paris and Strasbourg on the border to Germany. And during that time, I worked as an English teacher for primary school children. It was a baptism of fire, as we like to say. I was very much thrown in at the deep end, which would mean being forced to do an activity that you're not quite prepared for. It was the first time where I had to work in an environment that was completely in French, because none of the other teachers could speak any English in the school. The job was also advertised as a language teaching assistant. However, none of the teachers could speak any English. So really, it was just little old me planning the lessons and teaching the lessons on my own. So as it was also my first time teaching English, it was a challenge. Let's say that it was a challenge, but I'm very grateful that I got that experience, because it taught me a lot about teaching. So I spent my summers at university living in Germany, working as an au pair for a family there who I still have an amazing relationship with. They actually came on holiday with my family a few years ago. So again, another example of how languages have really expanded the possibilities in my life, expanded the friendships available to me. And it's a funny story, actually. When I was living in Germany, the children that I was looking after, they weren't allowed to know that I could speak German. It was a secret, because one of my main tasks was to teach the children English, or to, you know, to interact with them in English. So when they were talking in German, I had to pretend that I couldn't understand. Which is quite hard to do, you know, if they're saying, I don't know, if they're telling a joke or something and I understand, I couldn't react. I'm good at laughing.
What a challenge.
Again, that was an experience I'm very grateful for, because during this time, I listened to a lot of German rather than speaking. And I think that really helped develop my pronunciation, because listening is key if you want good pronunciation in any language. And in fact, when I went back to university, I was speaking with somebody from Germany in German, and they asked me, what part of Germany are you from? So obviously my accent had developed so much that they thought I was a native speaker. So I was pretty happy with that.
It's awesome.
Since leaving university, I haven't really had much chance to learn any new languages, but I have recently started learning Portuguese, as my partner is from Brazil. Please don't test me, Charles.
Wow, let's switch this interview now to Portuguese. Let's see.
I'm not that good yet, but I am enjoying being the student in the classroom rather than the teacher for once. It's a nice nice experience to be on the opposite side of that.
That's awesome. And do you guys speak in Portuguese when you see each other?
No, he's more of a student than a teacher, I think. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
And I'm curious, have you ever been to Brazil?
I haven't been to Brazil, but I do have plans to travel there in a few months. But yeah, I do have a lot of interaction with the language when I'm listening to him speaking in Portuguese. I listen to my students speak in Portuguese sometimes at school. I watch TV shows with my partner as well in Portuguese. We've recently started watching MasterChef Brazil from the beginning.
That's awesome.
So yeah, he does help me. I just, I'm also taking online classes and I have my own grammar books and things to study in my own time, but I'm not up to a podcast in Portuguese yet.
Oh,
so please don't switch to Portuguese.
Yes. And I would say that once you are prepared, you can create a podcast to speak in Portuguese and interview people who speak Portuguese. So you are going to improve a lot. Because initially, when I started this podcast, I had no idea what I was doing. And I really had a desire to connect with people and to practice English. Because here in Brazil, I don't know if you can notice, but the reality is kind of sad. Not so many people are able to speak this language that is so important and it can open so many doors. So I had to create the opportunity for me. And throughout this journey, I am so grateful because, as I mentioned, it's a lot of work, but I love doing this. And I hope that I can continue doing this because I was able to connect and communicate with so many amazing and awesome people like you. And I wouldn't have the chance if it wasn't for this project.
Absolutely.
And I think
I was just going to say that I think that without sounding elitist, I think that the language learning community, we are a good bunch of people because everybody, generally speaking, is very respectful and open-minded about where people come from, their background, their history. So I think we're a nice bunch of people to have as friends.
Yes, we are awesome. If you guys need any friends, Nicola and me, we want to be your friends.
We're
awesome.
Yeah.
I would like to mention something that you talked about is when you were 13, you went to another country. And it's interesting because I was listening to an interview with someone who traveled all around the world. This person already have been to all the countries on earth.
Wow.
She was on the Guinness Book, I guess. And I was hearing an interview with her. And it was interesting because she said that when she came back home from her first field trips and when she went to school, she couldn't relate and she felt like she wasn't in the right place because she was able to find so many different ways of living and so different than the way that she was used to live in the US, and she was able to become more empathetic and oh God, this is a hard word. Empathetic, right?
Perfect.
And because sometimes we complain about things in our own country, but we forget that there are so many places out there that they don't have even the basic. And this is something that I try to keep in mind instead of complaining how bad my country is. I'm going to be grateful for what I have and try to be mindful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think travel is a privilege. Not everybody has the opportunity to travel. I recognize that, but it really opens your mind. It opens your eyes. It opens your mind to the reality of the world that you're living in and really how insignificant we are sometimes. But yeah, it's a crazy experience. Have you traveled much outside of Brazil?
No, actually, I've never been outside of Brazil.
Where would you like to go?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I have no idea. I would be happy to just go to another country to see another culture with my own eyes. I would be really happy.
Yeah.
I don't have like any specific place.
Yeah.
Of course, I would prefer going to a place where the native language is English because I could connect with native English speakers and see the culture with my own eyes. But I would be happy to go anywhere outside of Brazil. That would be great.
Nice.
Hopefully in the future.
Would you prefer a cold country like England or? for a hot country like Australia, for example?
Oh, I would prefer. I love winter. For me, winter could be like I could live in a place where winter is the whole year because I prefer cold than hot
Yeah.
weather.
Well, you're from the south of Brazil, right? It's quite cold sometimes in the south.
Yes, during the winter it's quite cold. If we
Yeah.
compare the south with other parts of Brazil, then some depending on where you go, there is no cold. And
Yep.
oh, but let me tell you something, because I have a few experiences traveling in other states. And for example, when I went to Rio de Janeiro, when I went there, I felt like, oh my gosh, and why everything here is so different? The food, the way that people talk. And this is something that I find that it's really beautiful about Brazil, because it's a huge country and it's so
Yeah,
diverse.
absolutely. There's a huge diversity in Brazil. My partner is from the south of Brazil as well, and he has never traveled to the north or to Rio before, or São Paulo, but he's met a lot of people from São Paulo here, and he's found that his accent is changing. So
Oh,
his accent doesn't sound as south anymore. He's got picked up a few phrases from São Paulo.
I believe that, because I don't know if I have ever talked about it on the podcast, but my sister, she met my brother-in-law through internet back in 2010. Nowadays they are married and they have two kids. But my sister, she has been living in São Paulo for about 11 years, I guess, and I can't recognize the way that she sounds. She is like someone from São Paulo. She completely changed her
That's a
accent.
I have so I don't know if you're interested in these kind of things, but when I was studying linguistics at university, I can't remember the details of who did the study, but there was a study done on men and women and their accent changes. And if two men meet from two different regions, their accents actually become stronger because they want to show proudly where they're from. They want It's kind of like an alpha male thing, you know, like represent where I'm from. So their accents get stronger. If two women meet from different regions, they try to find a middle ground where they can both understand each other. So there you
Wow,
go.
that's
That's the
so
difference between men and
interesting.
women. So I'm not surprised that your sister's accent has changed so much, because that's what women tend to do in those situations, is they tend to replicate what they hear around them to try to find a common ground.
And this is something that you mentioned, like the power of listening, right? It's so important to be surrounded, like to be in
Absolutely.
an environment where you are absorbing the language, like listening. And then when you
Yep.
are going to start speaking, you are going to reproduce the sound, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Oh, wow. We are here for 30 minutes and we are on question three. That's crazy. Okay, but I'm loving this. Okay, the next question is, walk us through your learning process. Did you use a different method for each one of the languages you've learned, or did you use the same learning approach to all of them?
Interesting question. I think when I was in school and I first started learning French and German, I wasn't really aware of a learning process. I just did whatever my teacher told me to do, I guess. But I've always been a very visual learner, and it helps me to write things down. So I always have systems in my notebooks for vocabulary and grammar, breaking that down into categories. I like to use colors as well, because I'm very visual. I like to use colors to help me organize things. With Portuguese, I guess at the moment, my comprehension is very good because, as I said before, I listen to my partner speaking Portuguese a lot, my students. I listen to a lot of Portuguese music, and well, not a lot, don't quiz me on that. I listen to Portuguese music, I listen to Portuguese TV shows as well. So I would say that if I heard a conversation in Portuguese, I could probably understand between 60 to 90% of it, depending on the context. But I've heard that Portuguese grammar is quite difficult, so I'm scared to open that book, you know? Would you agree that Portuguese grammar is more difficult than English grammar?
Yes, 100%. And I remember when I was at school, I hated hated Portuguese. I don't know why. The grammar, it's insane. I'm not gonna scare you. You should try to learn. It's not like an impossible thing. But yeah, yeah. I would rather for sure study English grammar than Portuguese grammar.
I've learned German grammar before, and that was pretty tough because in German as well, they have different cases and they have three different genders. So they have feminine, masculine and neuter as well, whereas Portuguese only has feminine and masculine, right? So yeah, I think I like English in the sense that it doesn't have genders for things, because that is really annoying when you have to learn the gender of things. And then it's not the same in every language. So table could be feminine in, I don't know, French, for example, but then masculine in a different language, and you need to learn the genders all over again. It's crazy. But yeah, I find that for language learning processes, I use a formula when I'm thinking about lessons and content. So I think if you want to successfully learn a language, you need to, first of all, have the curiosity to learn a language. You need the confidence to try, and you need to imitate the language that you see being used or heard being used by other speakers as well.
Something that you mentioned that I think it's really interesting is you said that you are a visual learner. And I think this is really important for each one of us who are trying to learn either a new language or a new skill. The idea of being aware of what kind of learner are you, right? Because you can be a visual learner and auditorium learner, right? Or yeah, audio learner. And also, there is other kind of learners. Actually, there is a test that you can do online to check which kind of learner are you. And once you know that, you can align the way that you learn with your strategy that you're going to apply when you are learning something new. And this is powerful because I know that I am an audio learner, so I prefer listening to things, and this is the way that I can improve when I learn something instead of doing other things. I'm kind of visual learner as well. I like to see things, but if I had to choose, and when I did a test, like the higher score was that I was an audio learner, which is very accurate. So for those of you who are listening, I'm going to try to put the test, because I know that there is a test. I'm going to put in the show notes so you guys can make the test and see what kind of learner are you.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good tip. It can completely change how quickly and how effectively you learn something if you realize that you're not learning it in the correct way for your brain. So yeah, good tip.
Awesome. Okay, so the next question, you already talked a little bit about it, but if you have something else to add. Okay, the question is, what do you think about the idea of curiosity to learn? Do you think we should be curious when learning a new language?
Yes, absolutely. I think curiosity is essential. We all need a reason that motivates us to learn a language, whether that be for work, communicating with friends and family, to travel, to start a new life somewhere. This is the motivation that keeps you going when you hit that wall, when you feel like your language has plateaued and you're no longer improving anymore. If you just take everything that you're learning at face value, that means you're just accepting it. You're not getting a comprehensive understanding of the language. So you need to be constantly asking yourself questions. You know, why is this word pronounced this way? Why do native speakers tend to use this word rather than this word? What's the origin of the word? What context can it be used in? Where should I avoid using this word? If you're taking everything at face value, like I said, you're not really learning the language. You're just taking in this information. You know, you're not getting a full understanding of the culture of the language. So I think it's very important to just keep questioning everything and remain curious about what you're learning. And I think people get this curiosity in different ways. To give you an example, when I was learning French, my main motivation at that time when I was living in France was to socialize with people in French and make new friends there. So one thing that I did was I went on YouTube and I found French vloggers, and I watched them live their daily life, and I could get new phrases and see language being used in context and learn all the nuances of the language that you don't learn from a textbook. So that's one thing that I really recommend, is finding a vlogger or an online personality that you really connect with and relate to. Start watching their videos, watch their day-to-day life, and you'll pick up on really useful phrases, pronunciation, and you might also learn things about their culture as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, I love that. I never talked on the podcast about this idea of curiosity, but I think this is very important, right? To have this trait, to be a curious person in general in all areas of your life, right? It's so nice when, for example, you are having a conversation with someone who asks you a question, right? When they are curious about your life, when they want to know more about you, instead of having a conversation with, I mean, trying to have a conversation with someone who just talk about themselves. It's hard to have a conversation with someone who, I mean, doesn't care, don't ask anything. And being curious is gonna lead us to find so much more new information, right? We will learn so many new things because we will have like this desire of continuing and to expand, to know more things.
I love it when a student will put their hand up and question me, question my method and make me think about why this information is true, you know, why is the grammar this way? And it shows me that they have this curiosity. And, you know, I think people learn a lot faster and a lot more effectively if you are questioning things.
Yeah, that's why kids, they learn faster, right? I think we should absolutely change our mindset. We should try to be kids again and to be curious and ask things. Why?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The good thing about kids as well is when you learn a language as a kid, you're not afraid to get things wrong. And you don't have this embarrassment of trying to imitate the accent as well. Kids will just pick up the accent very quickly and they don't have this fear of sounding ridiculous. And I wish that we didn't have that fear as we got older. I think that would make things a lot easier if we didn't have this fear of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had that for so long. Let me tell you. I started learning English for real in 2015 and I spent 3.5 years just absorbing the language, and it was so boring because I was just learning and I wasn't using the language. But I got into a point that I thought to myself, Charles, what is the purpose of you spending all this time to learn this language if you are not opening your mouth and trying to express yourself and communicate using this language? And then I started to do something and I started to change my mindset, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm gonna mess up, I'm gonna make mistakes, I'm gonna embarrass myself, I'm gonna get out of my comfort zone, which was so challenging because I'm a shy person and also I'm an introvert, so for me it was terrible. But nowadays I can look back and say it was worth it. Every time that I was scared to mispronounce a word, or if I was scared that someone wouldn't understand me, I tried. And a lot of times I failed, but that helped me to get into the level that I am today.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is just breaking through that wall of this fear that we have of getting things wrong. Everybody gets things wrong. It's a normal part of learning anything. I think if my students came to the classroom and didn't get things wrong, I would think, well, something's not right here.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing to improve. So yeah, it's a natural part of learning, just getting things wrong. And
nobody's perfect, right? I don't know someone who is perfect at speaking in a language. I'm not.
Perfect. Even native speakers.
Yeah, I was going to say that I don't speak like perfect Portuguese and I will never will. So why we as language learners should be so caught up in being perfect in everything if even native speakers aren't?
Yeah, you shouldn't hold yourself to that high standard of perfection because it's just not realistic. Language is very flexible in its nature. Language is changing all the time. Just because we use one phrase this year doesn't mean that this phrase will be still used in 20, 50, 100 years. You know, it all goes out of fashion. So I know it's hard, but I just want people to let go, just try.
I love that. And yes, I totally agree, the language is always evolving, right? Awesome. Okay, next question. Could you please share your thoughts about the importance of language imitation?
Sure. So I think I spoke about this a little bit before, but language imitation is the idea of using your passive language skills, that would be reading and listening, to improve your active language skills, speaking and writing. So when you listen to, it could be a native speaker or it could be just a more advanced speaker of English. When you hear them speaking, you're learning the pronunciation, the rhythm and the stress patterns without really putting in that much effort at all. Your brain is very intelligent and it will take on that information. And that means that when you speak, you can then replicate what you heard and what you learned from before. And the same goes for reading and writing. When you're reading, you can learn new words, new phrases, the natural sentence structure of the English language, which could be very different to your own native language. And then you can then replicate that when you're writing. And I think people really underestimate the power of reading because you can learn so much from reading. I think it's a very important skill to have, and you can do it all at your own pace as well. There's no rush when you're reading. But yeah, it all goes hand in hand. If you want to improve your speaking, you need to work on your listening. And if you want to improve your writing, you need to work on your reading. So if you don't already, make sure you have a good podcast to listen to and a good book to read so you can really imitate that language being used in a real life situation.
I love that so much because in the past, I had some guests where we talked about this idea of imitation, and a lot of them shared like the shadowing technique, the parroting technique, but all the ideas that I heard in the past about imitation, it was about when trying to improve speaking. But you talked about the idea of imitation and you incorporated like the writing as well in reading, and I love that because I've been working for the first time using English and I never stopped, like, and I never took the time to work on my writing skills a lot because I'm not a reader and I know that I need to read in order to be able to have a good writing. Mm-hmm. And I decided to do something because I knew that I needed to read, I need to see how the words are written, and each language they have like a pattern that your brain is gonna start picking the pattern. And mm-hmm. I committed myself to read every single newsletter that I subscribe to, and it was painful because as I mentioned, I'm not like a reader, but every time they would open my email, I started to read everything. And also on social media, the accounts that I follow that create content in English, I would try my best to read everything, and then I would start putting into practice because nowadays I need to write on my job, and I improved so much by doing that, by imitating what I was reading and putting my writing.
Surrounding yourself with the language that you want to take in. So like you mentioned, the online accounts that you follow, I think everybody these days will agree that they spend too long on their phone. So make sure that the accounts that you're following online, if they're in English, you're going to be taking in that language even when you're just scrolling through Instagram. you're still learning something in that way.
Yes. The last episode I talked with Danielle, he's the host of my Fluent podcast, and we talked about the idea of using social media to learn and improve English. And this is a great tactic that we, is this a word in English? That we can use to learn, because as you mentioned, we are all, I mean, people live on their phones and people live on social media. So why not take advantage of that to learn a new skill, like to improve your target language?
We are slaves to the little black screen, really.
Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just use it to your advantage as much as you can.
Awesome. Okay, what else have here? Okay, so this is the last question and then we're going to wrap it up with the rapid fire question. Segment. So the last question is, if someone is stuck and feeling no progress on their language learning journey, what would you advise?
I would say, remind yourself of the motivation that you had when you started learning the language and check that that's still your motivation today, because maybe it's changed and you need to realign your language learning process with your goals. But in any case, if you're feeling stuck, that usually means that something needs to change. So trying something new will really help. So it might just be something small, like trying a new TV series or a new podcast, a new new book, or you might need to completely change up your learning environment. Maybe you want to look, if you have a teacher, try to look for a teacher that teaches in a way that aligns with how you learn. So like we talked before about the different types of learners, you know, maybe you might find a teacher that is very good with more visual learners or audio learners, and just make sure that you're in the correct environment for you. Maybe you could start a new course, like a pronunciation course, reach out to an online community where you can practice your speaking. All of these things will help to reignite the passion that you had at the beginning of your language journey and that curiosity for the language.
I love that. Finding your passion again, or bringing your passion to life, and also the idea of changing. And I agree. Like, if so many times I felt stuck, but I realized that I'm here in this situation because I'm doing the same thing over and over again, and this isn't working. I need to change something. Something is not right. Yeah. And when I started to change and try new things, I was unstuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, now let's wrap it up with the rapid fire question segment. I have 8 questions here. You can answer them super quick, but feel free to expand in any of them. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, let's say your best friend called and said, "Hey, let's go and grab something to eat. I will pay for everything. You can eat as much as you can. Plus, you can choose the place. Where would you go and what would you eat?"
Well, first of all, I love this friend. Whoever this friend is that's offering to pay for my food, they're a good friend.
Yes.
tricky question. I would say maybe Indian food. I love Indian food. But if I'm feeling very indecisive, I might just say like an international buffet so that, you know, I can choose whatever cuisine I'm in the mood for.
Awesome. Number two, your birthday was coming and someone from your family decided to give you as a gift a whole trip to any place inside your country. Where would you go?
I would say Cornwall. Have you heard about Cornwall before?
No.
Cornwall. So people think that the UK doesn't have nice beaches, but they just don't know where to look. I feel like Cornwall is a little secret. It's an area on the southwest coast of England, and it has really, really beautiful beaches. So make sure you look it up, Cornwall. It's very beautiful. And it's quite warm there as well most of the year.
Amazing. Next one. What is one of your favorite things to do in your spare time?
In my spare time, I don't have much spare time at the moment, but when I do, I love to cook or bake, try new recipes.
Oh, do you have like a favorite thing that you like to cook often?
Favorite thing I like to cook. I mean, I love Italian food. I think I probably should have been born Italian. I have an Italian soul. Just pizza and pasta and carbs.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I love all of these things. Awesome. What else I have here? Okay, what kind of TV series and movies do you like to watch?
Crime dramas, psychological thrillers.
Is there a song that never gets old to you?
She's Always a Woman by Billy Joel.
Amazing. Is there a book that you have read more than once?
I think it's probably quite a cliche answer, but Harry Potter. When I was young, I loved the Harry Potter books. I always read them together with my dad, so I have a lot of happy memories with Harry Potter. But at the moment, I'm listening to an audiobook called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I already know that I'm going to listen to this more than once because there's a lot of information that I want to take in and learn from in that book.
Awesome. I have watched so many YouTube videos where they shared some advice from this book, and I really liked
it. It's a very, very popular book. I heard people talk about it a lot, so I thought it's time for me to, I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it. Uh-huh. Kind of cheating.
This is what I would do because I don't like to read. I love listening. Awesome. Okay. Who has influenced your language learning journey the most?
I would say the friends that I've made along the way and my students as well. My students motivate me.
I love that answer. And you know what? Because I always say to people that you don't have to be alone when learning a new language, right? We can find awesome people out there to connect with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. Could you share 2 phrases or expressions you think people should know them?
Okay, so I'm going to go with cat-related phrases. The first one is, cat got your tongue? Cat got your tongue? Have you heard that before?
No. is the first time.
So this is a phrase that we use when we're expecting somebody to talk, but they're being quite shy. So it's almost a little bit teasing. So be careful where you use it. But you say, yeah, cat got your tongue.
Oh, and this I is think me all the time.
The history is, I think in Egyptian times, people used to cut off tongues from people and feed them to cats if they were liars or something. So it's got quite a dark history, if I'm correct about that. But yeah, that's a nice little phrase. Cat got your tongue. And the second phrase, to look like something the cat dragged in. To look like something the cat dragged in. So if somebody arrives looking a little bit messy or untidy or windswept, you might say, you look like something the cat dragged in.
I love that. Thanks for sharing.
It's not a very nice phrase, I'm sorry, but there are two phrases that you might
different.
Hear.
Yeah. I've never heard both of them, but it's really cool. Thanks for sharing.
There you go. Well, I'm happy to have taught you something.
Oh, and I have one, and this is like news because I'm really bad at this kind of expressions, but I heard on YouTube videos where people would teach English, but to be honest, I've never heard like an English native speaker talking about this phrase, which is, it's raining cats and dogs. Do you guys use this in UK or no?
No.
I never heard
Not
that.
Really.
Why people teach
no,
that?
people teach that a lot, but I don't think I've ever used it's raining cats and dogs in everyday life. you hear it sometimes, I guess, but it's not a phrase that I personally would use. But again, this is what it goes back to, replicating the language that you hear native speakers use. So, you know,
be aware if this is being used.
It's
or
not really a phrase that I would use.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
I would just say it's raining heavily. It's pouring down. That's a nice phrase. It's pouring down.
It's pouring down. It's raining dinosaurs. I just made
it's
it
raining dinosaurs. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so last question. Where can people find you online?
So my Instagram is at @nativenicola.
Awesome. I'm going to put in the show notes so you guys can connect with Teacher Nicola. Teacher Nicola, thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate you
taking
the time to record this interview with me. I had a blast.
I've loved chatting with you.
Awesome. I'll see you around. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Jealous.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.